Well, my name's Shane, and I could hardly be happier to be here with you guys. You know, whenever Matt and I are talking about me maybe coming and speaking and kind of getting some details oriented, at some point along the process, I'll take the risk and float out the question and go, is Cliff going to be there? And it's when Matt says, yeah, Cliff's there, I was like, oh, so relieved. I'm so happy. And man, how great that we can gather like this and worship God and be led by these guys. That's pretty fun. So I've been listening to Common Way sermons a little bit the past few weeks, and I was totally into that, was it Tough Choices? Is that like the previous, we had Christmas and then Tough Choices, and love that, I think primarily because I felt like a lot of the things didn't really apply to me, so that's always like, well, nice, you know. But then last week, how many of you were, anybody here last week? Raise your hand high if you were here last week. It's not, nobody's taking notes or anything. I don't know what you thought about last week. You know, maybe if you don't remember, here's some. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And then, how much does it depend on you? And this nasty man, take on the other person's perspective as truth. Suspend your judgment, recognize the other person's emotion, communicate that emotion. Happily, I listened to that sermon in the privacy of a rental car somewhere in the Central Valley of California. So I didn't have people down the road going, hey, I think you need to hear this. And how's it going working that out? Anyway, I haven't actually tried. I tried with my kids and tried to help them, tried to like pass on the Matt stuff, like, you should look at it from the other person. And that was like, woo, glorious success. but personally, I think this is hard. And whether or not it's worth fighting for, it seriously is a fight. So it kind of, you know, as my mind was going along, it's made me start to wonder, why do we actually come and subject ourselves to that? You know, it's one thing to listen in your car and it's just you, but you guys show up to have that done to you. And I wonder if you ever wonder, now this is like a risky line of reasoning, right? Come back next week, all right? Because if y'all don't come back next week, then I never get to come back. And B, if you know me at all, you know I'm totally sold on the idea of church, but just kind of wondering a little bit, why do we do this? Lots of smart people don't come to church. And maybe you felt kind of smart a little bit ago when you didn't come to church. And you know, you could be sitting in your own living room, drinking good coffee, and reading a book. And if the, no offense, Horizon Center. You know, if the guy's talking politics on TV, if you take a little nap while they're talking, they don't care. It's not like they're looking at you like I am going, don't go to sleep, man. So I want us to think for a minute. I want to invite you into this thought about why do we do church? Now, I wrestled around for the best way to ask this, but it kind of encompasses why do we come to church? Why do we have church? Why church? You know, that would maybe be the most basic way to say it. Why this? And not just this Sunday morning, but this, these people that you're linked up with, that you're connected to, that kind of they owe you some life and you owe them some life. You've made agreements in terms of how you're going to interact and care for each other. Why? Now, here's what I think there's like a long list of good reasons, but I also have a pretty strong hunch that you're really smart. So I want to invite you into this. So we're going to try this thing. And if it like totally crashes and burns, we'll just talk, all right? But I want to do, Jessica's back here, she's helping me. Jessica, if you could flip over to Safari, and we're going to do this poll. So if you got a smartphone, get it out. I should have told you this a minute ago. Get out a smartphone, go in your browser to, how do you spell it? M-E-N-T-I, Menti, not M-I-N-T-Y, M-E-N-T-I.com. Drop in this code, 322025, and then tell me your answer. Why church? Now, when I was testing this morning, my first answer was obviously, we come to church to hear Cliff. So you don't have to put that, because everybody knows that. That's like, it could go without saying, but I already said it, so it doesn't have to anymore. But what do you think? What brings you here? What do you get out of this? We're going to basically think about, why do we invest? Because you know, it's a chunk of investment. You guys give money. I don't know how much money you just gave right now, but you know, not inconsequential. And you pay people salaries, you pay the Horizon Center. I think now the Horizon Center would float without Common Way a couple years ago. I don't know, but now I think, you know, things are picking up a little bit. So why are you here? Is anybody doing this? I can only go on so long rephrasing the question before. I'm kind of hoping stuff pops up. Shouldn't have to refresh it. It should just come up there. Okay, we're like 30 seconds away. You count this down, all right? 30 seconds away from going, screw the poll, and we'll just talk. Because you all have voices, right? But some of you won't say with your mouth what you will say with your keyboard. I'm on Facebook. I know that that's true. How many have, like, actually submitted an answer? Oh, she's serious. Hit refresh? Okay, try it. Just a command R, Jessica. Now, whatever doesn't go well with this, it's on me, not Jessica, okay? Jessica wandered in here this morning going, I'm doing the PowerPoint, and then I just, like, laid all this stuff on her, and it was too late for her to run for her life. What's that? Nothing? Okay. It's not loading. It's because you guys are on Wi-Fi. Get off the... No, don't get off the Wi-Fi. Let's go, like, analog, all right? Somebody who wrote something down, and this isn't fair because you thought you could just, like, anonymously do it, but somebody who wrote something down, raise your hand, and I'll just kind of, like, you. Why do we do church? Yeah. To get refreshed. Because it's good. It's helpful, right? To worship God. Which is probably maybe core fun. At least we want to think that that is the, that for me, that's the reason. What was the second part of yours? In community. So we do it with these people that we like more or less, that we're connected to. Over here, somebody. No? Okay. Application of God's word. So you liked last week's sermon, right? Did you do it? What a good time not to be here. Somebody else, back this way. Yeah. Get the word of God from a different perspective so you get outside your own personal echo chamber. Great. Somebody else. Nobody over here? This side? It's like the don't have to talk side? Fellowship, right? Hang out with people you love. Yeah, I watch you guys come in. This is a pretty attractive group. You know, you all look like you're sharp and you're on the ball and had this wonderful dynamic of this wave of grown-up people. And then after they're all in, it's like then the college students could come in. And so great. One more. Yeah. To love others. To love others. What do you mean? Can you elaborate on that? Good. Awesome. So spend time with people that you might not see in other contexts. Love them, care for them. Switch, Jessica, if you switch back to keynote. Of all these, the answers that you just said and the fabulously intelligent answers that you threw up into the cloud and they're somewhere, you know, some low-level guy at NSA is going, oh, who knew? That's why hey, come here, that's why people go to church. Wherever they're watching that. So let's... Here, I think sorting out all those things that I didn't see in my mind, I think maybe we get three main categories here. We gather to worship. We get together because there is something potent about worshiping God together. Now, I think God is as equally pleased with what happened this morning in terms of our singing as he is with you just cutting loose to Caleb or whatever you cut loose to. Not like Motley Crue, but you know what I'm saying. In your car, on the way to work, just belting it out, you and the Creator. And we don't have to get together to worship, but there's something pretty encouraging, right? You gather with a bunch of like-minded people, and I don't know what kind of abuse you take during the week, what kind of particularly acute issues you're facing right now, what kind of regular knocks upside the head you get at work, but it's good to get together with a bunch of people. And you look around, you go, we're not all ding-dongs here. And we believe this stuff. This stuff is real. And this stuff is central. And this God is the one in the universe most worthy of worship and honor and devotion. So we gather to celebrate that. We gather to give God what God deserves with all of our hearts. And knowing, you know, every week we fall short of what God deserves, we're going to give him everything that we can. So there's that reason, which I think is core and fundamental. There's also this reason we gather to be transformed. And some of this community stuff, I think, feeds into this. I want to talk about this a little more thoroughly in a moment. But we get together to hear Matt say stuff like, okay, here's what empathy looks like in the real world. Go give it a try. All right, I'll go give it a try. And then we gather to scatter. And this is going to kind of be the main point, what I want to share with you this morning. We come here to get equipped to go do the stuff that God has in mind for us to do. So I think these are three basic things that we gather in church for. So, and we're going to get around to what we're fighting for here in a minute. Hebrews 10:24, and this is about the transforming part. Hebrews says this, and let us consider, and some of you, if you grew up in church, this is the verse that came to mind, right? When I said, why do we go to church? Because, well, there's that thing where it says, don't neglect gathering. That's why, don't neglect gathering together. And depending on how well you are at that verse, you go, don't neglect gathering together because some have entertained angels unaware. And you sort of, you know, conflate it. Thanks, Mom. Two different verses. If you went to Sunday school, you got all this stuff, kind of. But the author of Hebrews, like, it kind of remains a mystery, maybe a woman, said, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And I don't, not for a moment, do I want to like blast you like, hey, I happen to know you didn't come last 2 weeks. I only know that you guys didn't come last week. Everybody else, I wasn't here. But the Bible says it's a good idea to get together, right? It's a good idea to get together, encouraging one another. So we get together so you can talk to people. So hopefully, and I was floating this out with one of my friends. I don't know if he's here this morning or not, but he's the kind of guy that you can trust to shoot straight with you. And I said, so what do you think? How would you answer this question? He goes, well, I think we come together for this community thing, like you mentioned, and to try, not just Sunday morning, but however we gather through the week, to sort of get in each other's business, the good, the bad, the ugly, refine each other. And then he goes, not that I really know how much of that goes on, actually. And that's the challenge, right? It's way easier to go, how's it going? Fine. How are you doing? Fine. Walk around and go, oh, I'm such a liar. But we get together and encourage each other, build into each other, work out some of this work of transformation. Paul says, Philippians 2:12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only my presence, but now much more my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I think some of this working out our salvation, taking what the Bible says and from varying perspectives, like somebody mentioned, and letting it be applied to our lives in the context of people who know us, hopefully are knowing us deeper and deeper. And we're going to work this out. We're going to figure out what it means to be these people who look like Jesus in this world right now. So this work of transformation, I think, is an important part of why we're here. And if you've been around church for a while, you know how you can kind of pull up walls so nothing happens to you, or you can let them down so stuff does happen a little bit. But that's part of why we're here. We're also here, we gather, we get together, we connect with each other for the express purpose of scattering. We get together to get apart. And here's what I want to think about here. Back to that verse with Paul in Philippians. Therefore, friends, as you have obeyed, not only when I was there, but when I'm gone now, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Part of what's going on here and in your small group and in your hanging out and in your texting your buds and perhaps, though I'm a little skeptical, maybe when you're Snapchatting this person that the streak's up to 140, some of what is working out here is you connecting, you working out your salvation with these other people so that God works through you to accomplish his purposes. We are here so that God can do what God wants to do in us, so that God can do what God wants to do through us. Because God is at work accomplishing things that are way bigger than our particular stories, but our story gets to be a part of it. So here's kind of, this may be the thesis statement. If you're writing notes, if you're in the very lame YouVersion notes section right now because I failed to get my stuff to Sarah. Again, you know, Sarah didn't drop the ball. It was me. But there's a little space to write in there. Here it is. We do church in order to get inspired, equipped, empowered to go out and bring the kingdom of God to bear on Muncie, Indiana and the world. A bit of a gap there, right, between Muncie and the world. But you live where you live. So we are here to get the stuff that we need to be the people that God is calling us to be in Muncie, in the whole wide world. It's almost like Sunday morning, and maybe your small group is like a staff meeting. You get together, and you don't want to like burn all your time because you're trying to make some money with the company, but you got to talk a little bit. You got to get some training. You got to get the stuff. Maybe you have to get encouraged to go and pick up the phone. Or it's like the locker room at halftime. Let's just let it be the locker room at halftime with Bill Belichick saying whatever he said and maybe killing the chickens he killed and the incantations he recited. Whatever happened there, it's almost like the locker room where you're saying, this is not over. And we look around each other and go, this is over, dude. You go, no, it is not. The Bible says it is not over. And so we get what we need to re-engage with this world into which God has called us. We are gathered to scatter. So what is worth fighting for? In this What's Worth Fighting For series, and I so wanted to like just go down a litany of things not worth fighting for, but that's like antagonistic and whiny and snarky. So we'll just say what is. It is worth fighting for the outward-oriented, gather-to-scatter purpose of the church. This outward orientation is worth fighting for. And here's why. You are very interesting people. And we all have some compelling problems. And we all like to be a little bit comfortable and have the sound nice and the images in focus. We have all of this stuff just in the midst of us that is really kind of cool and good and worth thinking about. And if we are not careful, that will fill up all of the energy that we have, all of the mind time that we have just on us. Because it's fun. Look at you guys. You have interesting lives and you have sad problems. And churches throughout history have fallen prey to this tendency to stop thinking out beyond the walls of the church and start thinking more and more about us. Now, hear this clearly. I'm not accusing Common Way of this. I'm just saying, you look around and it has happened a lot. And so I would say it is worth fighting to keep some priority on that outward orientation. And it will take some fighting, because the default is to only think about us. And you know churches like this. You've probably been to churches like this. There, you could make the case there are whole denominations in the U.S. like this. And there are dead. There are churches you only read about in church history because they're not here anymore, because they just kind of went down this path until they sort of evaporated. They were gone. It is worth fighting for this outward orientation. Now, I want to think about that and unfold that a little bit. And the fundamental passage for me in terms of thinking, what does God want to do and how do people like you and me fit into it? It goes back to Genesis 12. And these are integral verses to my whole life. Out of kind of nowhere, God shows up at Abraham's tent and he says, I'm going to do some cool stuff for you. Just crazy, amazing. He said, go to this land, you know, pick up everything, pack up, and go to this land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you this huge land. It's going to be your land. Abraham's dad had kind of left home and just sort of plopped down someplace. It wasn't really their place. God says, gift number one, I'm going to give you land. He says, gift number two, he says, verse two, I will make you into a great nation. Sarah, Abraham's wife, and Abraham, they're really old. They don't have any kids. They've given up the hope of ever having kids. And God says, this is God euphemism for tons of kids. I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to have so many kids. And you just see Abraham scratching his old gray head going, well, I suppose I'm going to need a note for that one. I have no idea how that's happening. And it didn't happen for a long time. He had to really hold on to God's promises, and they faltering in it a bit. But God said, I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you tons of kids. I'm going to make your, he says, I will bless you. I'm going to be with you. I will make your name great. All these crazy things. God says, I'm going to pour in to you capacity and good gifts. And sort of like what happens at Common Way on Sunday morning, God pouring stuff in, or at your small group, or as you study the Bible on your own, God pouring good stuff of who he is and what he's doing and what he's about and ways he wants to bless you and take care of you, pouring all that stuff into you. And then he ends it, this covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, he ends it by saying, I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. Which is like, God, for I got your back. I'm going to bless the people who bless you. I'm going to curse the ones who curse you. And all the peoples on the earth, if you can't see it through the microphone, sorry about that. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. God says, here's what we're doing, bud. I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to give you everything you need. And together, we're going to see that filling up, that everything you need, that relationship with God, go to every people on the planet. And that is a very central mechanism at work in Common Way on Sunday morning and on your small group night. And as you're working through the Bible on your own, God is filling you up to launch you out, giving you what you need to engage with him in his purposes in your house, in your job, in your town, in Nicaragua, in the whole wide world. It is worth fighting for that purpose. Now, there are times in which, I suspect, you might feel like this guy. I actually saw this guy, not this guy, but this shirt, this guy's shirt, at Kentucky Kingdom a few years ago. He's walking along, I bring nothing to the table. And I guessed, perhaps erroneously, but I guessed he was wearing it ironically, so his wife would say, oh, but honey, you do, you're so great, we love you. And I'm thinking that's what was going on. Because I don't think there are many of us who are comfortable. You may battle this with all your worth, but we're not comfortable with this idea. I got nothing to offer. I got nothing to offer to church. I can't even unroll a cord from the back to the front. I can't even push a cart. You know, none of us like that, right? None of us want to be in the situation where I don't matter at all. I just kind of burn some ox. I just contribute to global warming. That's all I do. Oh, no, we don't. And part of the reason you're not comfortable with that is because it's not the way you were designed. This God who made everything, who made you, he built you to matter. He built you to participate with him every bit as much as he did Abraham and Sarah. So let's think about how this shakes out a little bit. Well, one more idea, and then I want to talk about practically how we engage in that purpose. So we gather, we're blessed to be a blessing, we gather to scatter, but there is this dynamic that kind of underlies that I just want you to be thinking about, because in my mind, it knits this whole thing together. Paul says in Colossians 1, maybe my whole favorite chapter in the whole Bible, he says, he is the one we proclaim. God is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. If you engage with God in this outward orientation of the church, if you do the scatter part following the gathering part, this is solid motivation. And I wanted to share this with you because we live in a time where if you say, you know, the stuff that I believe, I think it's right. You could get slapped for that. And there was a time not many decades ago where, like, if you believed the basic Bible kind of stuff, you were good with the basic main flow of the culture. And there were communists out of the periphery, and nobody liked them, and you didn't really care what they think. But now we're in this time where if you say, I'm pretty sure this is right, and you're, like, humble and kind, and you can say, and I think this is why it's right. This is what the Bible says, I'm pretty sure. And it can get you in trouble. And part of some of our response sometimes is to go, I don't want to be in trouble. And so I just kind of roll with things a little bit because I don't want to screw with people. Do we ask people have to come to Common Way to be an okay person? Can I offer you this dynamic of God's kingdom as at least some of an antidote to that thinking? We proclaim this stuff that we believe. We pass on these things that we believe to be true about the kingdom of God. We invite people into what God is doing so that in due time they might be presented as worship and offering to God. This outward orientation of the church is not just to make the church bigger. And it's not just to tell people from spiritual high horse that they're wrong and you're right. It's to invite people into the presence and the worship of the living God. And Paul says, and you see this theme throughout his writing, we're going to give this good news out. We're going to proclaim this good stuff so that ultimately we can offer these people to God. We're going to proclaim for the sake of presentation. So this ultimately returns back to God and into this worship that got us here in the first place. Both inward and outward are for the sake of upward. Some elements of outward purpose. Now, I am hesitant when I'm speaking anywhere, but particularly to you, because a lot of you are my friends, to go, you know all the stuff that you're doing and like how busy your day is and how you wish you just had time to catch your breath and how you're down to like the 1 minute Bible reader per day because that's all you can. Well, good for you. Now do more stuff. I'm really hesitant to do that. Like, oh, here, now you also have to do all of these things. But I'm going to float out four things that I think might be ways to respond to fighting for the outward orientation of the church. Now, it's up to you and the Holy Spirit to go, I'll do that, not do that, and I don't really care. I just need to kind of unfold for you. I feel this compulsion to practically say, this is a deal, and here are some ways that you might engage in this deal. Some of you have grabbed onto that outward orientation with both hands, and your life is oriented that way totally. And let me just be clear, common way is hip deep in this. The stuff that Sarah stood up here and invited you into, and that a lot of you, while she's inviting you, that makes sense. And you decided already to do that. Stuff that you're doing in Nicaragua. Stuff that you do at Christmas time. It cheers my heart. Christmas rolls around. You guys are doing all this great stuff. I'm not implying for a moment that you're not outwardly oriented. I am saying lots of churches have forgot to fight for that. And they've lost it. Keep fighting for it. So here's some ways that I think it might unfold. The first one, you know, in terms of our prayer, it seems to me that we often, and maybe this is like just me, so forgive me if it isn't, but we pray out of our pain. God, I need help. A couple days ago, 3 or 4 days ago, I'm flying. I often fly from Denver to Colorado Springs to get home. And it's like a 15-minute in-the-air flight. You don't go higher than 12,000 feet. And you can almost touch the front range of the Rockies from the plane. So you can imagine, it's kind of a bumpy flight. And it's sort of fun, usually. This flight a couple days ago, it was not so much fun. I was snoozing a little bit. And we dropped the biggest drop I've ever dropped in a little plane. And, you know, my phone flew out of my pocket, and happily there wasn't any time to give drinks, so the drinks would have been everywhere. Part of the plane broke and inside and like just trim, it was fine. It sagged down on these people. And there was a woman at like one row up and one row over. She wasn't doing well at the start. And after that, she was seriously not doing well. And I could just imagine some of her prayer and some of the prayer, you know, flying around that plane. It's like, God, we could use your help to get on the ground nicely. You ever been on a plane and the flight attendant said, we'll be on the ground shortly? And you go, I go, don't say that. Because yeah, that can mean any number. Just say we're going to land peacefully in a moment. That's a, you know, if United ever asked me to like shape their training, that's going in there. So we pray out of our pain. And God loves us so much that he is happy. You create everything. He's got a lot going on. He is happy to hear your prayers out of your pain. Keep doing that. But maybe we pray into this purpose as well. And we say, God, would you use common way to accomplish everything you have in mind? Here's one super practical way to do that. You still have your phone out? Get your phone back out. This is like just you and the phone, so it's not going to, it can't really break, I don't think. Set an alarm. No, really, get your phone out because I want you to do this. This is the kind of response that will take you 10 seconds once a day. And I know you have 10 seconds. Set an alarm for 10:02. And when that alarm buzzes, because nobody does audio on their phone, right? When that alarm buzzes, take a moment, just pause on whatever you're doing. unless you're like preaching, keep going, you'll save. But take a moment and say, God, and you're basically reciting Luke 10:2. In Luke 10:2, Jesus said, hey, look, listen, the harvest is plentiful. There aren't enough people to gather the harvest. Ask God to send out laborers. That ekbalo, I know one Greek word in my whole like brain, so I had to share it with you because it's a great word, ekbalo. And that's the sending out that Luke is talking about, that Jesus is talking about in Luke. So set that alarm for 10:02, and when it buzzes, just pause and say, God, would you send Common Way out into the streets of Muncie, into Nicaragua, into the whole wide world for your purposes? God, help us not to lose this outward orientation as a church. And if you want to apply that personally, be nervous, but go ahead and do it. Second thing, going and seeing. One way to deepen and personally internalize this outward bent of the church is to go and see. So, you know, legitimately, logically, the way to do that would be to sign up for a Nicaragua trip. How many are going this summer? You already know. So there's room. Okay. Is anybody thinking about going to Nicaragua this summer? No? All right. Well, okay, this might be a bad idea. I don't know. Talk to Jeremy about it and sort that out. There it is. Sign up for a Nick trip. That'll cost money and time, so that one's not like you can do it, just go on with your life. This one is a little bit, do it and go on with your life. Keep looking for stuff that will help you move out from the church. Keep looking for stuff that will orient your mind to, how do I be a follower of Jesus in the world today? And I don't think this is self-serving, but I want to invite you to sign up for this email that I just started. And it's designed to help people like us who love Jesus figure out, how do we think about Muslims? Because you know what? We live in some crazy days. If you're 20, you might think, well, it's always been this way, but it seriously hasn't. If you're like 60 or 70 or 80 or 90, good for you, keep coming to Common Way, maybe you can look back and find time. I can't look back in my life and see times that have been as dicey and felt as lively as things do right now. And I don't know what our president's going to write and lay out tomorrow. These are important times for you and me who love Jesus to find a way with wisdom and humility, winsomeness, but some authority to speak the purposes of God into our culture and into our world. So I just want to invite you into that fray. I'm not inviting you to post snarky stuff on Facebook, unless it's about Tom Brady, then feel free. But I'm inviting you to just like step up a little bit and say, God, how do we think about this? Sort of feels like this is a test for the church. And I don't know, I don't have like zero any kind of prophetic thing. But I think we'll look back in 5 years. And I think we'll look back, I hope, with great joy and say, God gave us what we needed to speak what needed to be spoken and to do what needed to be done. Because it's always easier to speak than to do, right? So if you could use some help in that, v.gd/refugee. Sign up for that. I would love to have you on this journey that I'm trying to unfold thinking about this. And then the last one. What if you were to ask this question? Do I know four people who are far from God? We used to say four people who are unsaved, but that's like, does anybody even say that anymore? Except like the Bible. But four people who are far from God. And you were to invite them. So I was just like doing this experiment. It's like for 3 or 4 weeks. You want to get together, talk about what Jesus said? Because we live in crazy days, right? Say that first, because everybody goes, yeah, we live in crazy days. So you want to get together, talk about what Jesus says about it? You know, people like you do that kind of stuff. I know you pay like a really great pastor, and you pay these great people to do stuff, but it's people like you working out this outward orientation of the church. See the kingdom of God be brought to bear on Muncie. Be brought to bear on our broader American culture. God is so totally worth it. That's why this matters. That's why this is worth fighting for. Let me lay one quote on you from this guy, John Ortberg. When God calls people to do something, their initial response is almost always fear, or sometimes anger, which is like kind of fear of acting out, maybe. If there is a challenge in front of you, a course of action that could cause you to grow and that would be helpful to people around you, but you find yourself scared about it, there's a real good chance that God is in that challenge. There's a half-decent chance that you're smart and you shouldn't be taking on more stuff. But there is a chance that that fear and that resistance, it's you holding back from what God has in mind for you to do. Now, I don't want you to leave here thinking, oh, I just got to do more stuff. So can you just do this? You just listen to God and do what God asks you to do. And recognize that God is working this purpose out in common way. You know, go home this afternoon, put your hand on your kids, your Nicaraguan kid's picture on your fridge and pray, God, give her everything she needs. And God, transform this village, and you're participating in this outward orientation, this gathering to scatter dynamic. God calls you beyond that, and it's scary. It's always scary, right? It's okay, we can do it anyway. Let me pray for you, and then we will be finished. Father, I thank you so much for my friends here. I thank you for what you're doing in this body of people called Common Way. Lord, I thank you that I get to hang out with them from time to time. And Lord, we pray that you would help us. Father, we've got issues, we've got problems, we've got stuff that we don't see how it ever gets resolved. Compelling things, Lord, that would occupy all of our energy. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to receive grace upon grace from you, be energized by you, to look beyond just these things that are so huge for us. And look to your purposes to take this good news to the ends of the earth, to every block in Muncie, every people on the planet. Father, I pray for my friends here individually, and I pray for them collectively as Common Way, that you will continue to help them contend for this aspect of your church. Lord, help them to fight as it's appropriate, that they would have the impact you desire in Muncie and right around the planet. Thank you for them, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. And God, we confess you are worth every bit of it. Every ounce of our energy, Father. Every thought, every word, every action. Lord, would you receive the praise, the honor, the glory, the adoration, the devotion that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for hanging with me, and please come back next week, all right? Thank you.